Good morning. Delighted to see you. What a moving hymn. As the deer, taking that great statement from the Psalms and asking ourselves, do I long for him the way I long for the physical things of this world? And that is one of our purposes here today, is to remind ourselves and to be refreshed in our thinking about the Lord. You know, throughout history, we see people associating and collecting themselves around various ideas and interests. And we do it ourselves. Common interests and beliefs cause people to join groups, clubs, movements, parties, classes, etc. We have a statement for that. A proverbial statement. Birds of a feather flock together. And we see that in nature. We see it in ourselves. We have flocked together here because we are birds of the same spiritual feather. We share a belief and a commitment to Jesus Christ. And we honor that today in what we do, what we say, and now as we listen. It was true in Jesus' day. Sadducees, an upper aristocracy class for the wealthy, basically. From this class of people that were called Sadducees, the high priests were most often chosen. Certainly in the time of Jesus. Most of Sanhedrin were Sadducees. They lived in the most expensive area of Jerusalem and the one that had the most direct access to the temple. I've been fortunate enough to see those regions and to see how they could quickly go into the temple area. Theologically, they were more liberal than their Pharisaical or Pharisees and others, Essenes. They did not believe in immortality of the spirit, the resurrection, or angels. Although not totally aligned today, they would be represented today by those who are theologically liberal, wealthier in the various religious denominations, who cater to that class or to that belief system. Many religious groups today, even though they started out, as we would say, very conservative or very traditional, have evolved into groups that really do not reflect much of what their great-great-great-grandparents believed. But another group were the Pharisees. First group, Sadducees. Second group that we discuss is the Pharisees. Paul, when he was Saul of Tarsus, was a Pharisee. Many of the Pharisees became disciples. They were a separatist movement that likely came about during the intertestamental period when they were threatened by the Greek domination of that day to adopt all Greek culture, Greek religion. And they separated themselves from what they regarded as polluting, to keep alive true Judaism. They were zealous for the law, especially their interpretation of the law. They attracted to the main, the poorer, lower classes of people. They were in constant conflict with the Sadducees and regarded them as less than holy. And of course, the Sadducees would look down on the Pharisees. They were conservative, we would say, in their religious belief. Over time, they elevated their religious traditions to the level of God's own law. They were popular with the poorer and lower classes of people, for they had at least the appearance of holiness. Then there were the Herodians class of people or party. The Herodians were basically a political party that were aligned with the interest of the Herods. Remember that at this time, the Herods did not rule over Judea. That was under a procurator appointed by Rome. Pilate was the procurator or governor. The Herods had been assigned the regions of Galilee and on the other side of Galilee and on the other side of the Jordan. But they were descendants of Herod the Great, who ruled over all of that region during the time of Jesus' birth. And so they were aligned with the political interest of the Herods. At one time, they joined with the Pharisees to oppose Jesus. And then there were the party of the Zealots. One of the apostles was Simon the Zealot. The Zealots were those who were zealous for the nation of Israel in opposition to Rome and Roman influence. They often were even violent in order to defend what they considered to be their nation of Israel and regarded the inroads into secularization as an evil. So now we have four groups: Sadducees, Pharisees, Herodians, and Zealots. Of these four parties, which you think you would join? Where would your feathers flock, using that metaphor? Of these, which one would be more amenable to what you believe if you lived at that time? But I want to suggest another group, and it was the publicans. I didn't say Republicans. I said publicans or tax gatherers. And let me clarify the terminology. The King James Bible uses the term publican to translate the word that in the more modern translations are tax gatherers. Likely the publicans were the bosses of the tax gatherers. And I'll explain that in just a moment. Remember Matthew, one of the apostles, was a tax gatherer. But let me explain Rome's method of gathering taxation or gathering the taxes. We have the voluntary method, or at least voluntary with the fear that you're going to be caught out and brought before the court and made to pay that double. But it still is voluntary. They had somewhat compulsory taxation system, but it worked kind of like this. Rome, of course, ruled over all these provinces, and they wanted taxes from all of them, and so they would hold an auction. They would auction out franchises of and rich people would go together and form a company, and they would bid on gathering the taxes for this particular province, or this particular province. And the deal was the Roman government would specify the amount of taxation per individual or per item, and they taxed all kinds of things. They had a poll tax, which is a head tax, and they had a tax on goods. They had a tax on a lot of stuff. This is why you normally find the tax gatherers in cities where the major roads came through, because a fella coming would have a load of goods and the guy would count it and he'd figure up the tax that you had to pay to pass the toll booth. So at any rate, the rich people formed groups and they bid through an auction as to being the franchisee or the franchisor in that particular region. And if they won the auction, then they would go and organize their company, and they would have bosses like Zacchaeus, was probably a publican, had tax gatherers under him that would gather the taxes, who actually sat in the booth. Matthew or Levi, Jesus found him in a toll booth where they were paying the toll or the tax. And so this was the way that their taxation worked. It had one interesting characteristic. Rome said you had to give X, let's say $10, but you could charge as much as you could get. and you got to keep the difference. Now, what did that open up to people? Well, I'm sitting there and I have to pay Rome $10. What if I can get 100 out of you? I get to keep 90. And so the Jews came to hate these tax gatherers because often they cheated their fellow Jews. They were all Jews that were doing this in our stories. But then again, there were some honest ones. And so they were regarded by Jewish people as traitors. Not only were they working for Rome, the occupying force, country, power, but they felt like they were getting gypped. And I want to see the hands of people who love to pay taxes. Well, they felt that way too. They felt that way too. And so the tax gatherers were a class of people that in Scripture, normally you see them grouped with sinners, prostitutes. And that's the way they're referred to. Does anyone here aspire to be a part of that group? You're always clumped in with the prostitutes and the known public sinners, tax gatherers, and sinners. Well, I'm going to ask you a question. Of these groups that we have described to you, to which group, if any, would you have been drawn by your natural inclinations or what you perceived were their interests in what they cared about? And further, let me ask this question. To which group was Jesus drawn? I want to talk to you for just the remaining minutes. I'll make a personal statement. I want to be like the tax gatherers. Do you? I want to be like the tax gatherers. I don't want to be like the Sadducees or the Pharisees or the Herodians or the Zealots. I want to be like the tax gatherers. And I want to tell you why. First of all, I want to be like the tax gatherers because many of them showed the fundamental characteristic and quality of being a disciple of Christ, and that is humility. And they demonstrated that humility in that their ready admission of being a sinner. It's the first characteristic of those who are described by Jesus in the great Sermon on the Mount in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, humble people, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then quickly after that, the next one is, blessed are they that mourn. And I appear, and I would suggest to you in context, he means mourn for sin, for they shall be comforted. Those who are regarded by society as sinners and unfit for social association often just accept their designation and live accordingly. If they're going to think of me with the prostitutes and the other sinners, then who cares how I live? I'll just live the way I want to. Many publicans or tax gatherers did not do that. They admitted their sin. And they received Jesus because he would say, I've come as a doctor to those who are sick. But folks, the only sick people in Jesus' day who got healed were the people who admitted that they were sick. Am I looking into the faces of any sick people? If you don't think of yourself as ever being sick, you wouldn't want to be a tax gatherer, a publican. Often people who are avowed and are classed with sinners often comfort and secure themselves in the belief that unlike others who claim to be holy, at least they're not a hypocrite. That's going to be small comfort in hell. At least I wasn't a hypocrite. Small comfort. And many, many publicans or tax gatherers, and I'm using them synonymously, even though it appears they're not the same, but in our minds they are. There were many tax gatherers who didn't think that way. If they received Jesus. Two men went up into the temple to pray, Luke 18, 10 through 14 tell us. This is a story by Jesus. One a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. Why do you think he chose these two men to represent the truth? A Pharisee, one who was regarded by the people as holy, and who also thought of himself as holy, and a tax gatherer. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. I want to be like that, don't you? A man who proclaims his need of forgiveness. From Luke 15, 1 through 2. Now all the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near him, that's Jesus, to listen to him. Both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. Would Jesus be eating with me? And you. And so I want to be a tax gatherer like these who were humble and who freely and quickly admitted their sin when they saw it. And then secondly, I want to be a tax collector like a tax collector because they demonstrated that they were genuine. Not a hypocrite. Genuine. Meaning, in this case, not only did they admit their sin, but they repented of their sin. They looked to change their lives. Many will say yes to the Lord, but when it comes clear what the cost is, they do not obey. Is that me? I only obey up into the level of what I'm willing to pay, but no more? Or am I all in? Whatever you say, Lord. Doesn't matter what you say. If you say it and I'm convinced that you've said it, I'm all in. I'll do that. Even if I have to change. Even if I have to change after many decades of thinking another way, I want to think that way. I'm all in. Many of the tax gatherers demonstrated that. Remember the preaching of John the Baptist? He came as a prophet of the Old Testament in that thundering method of calling men and women to repentance. I wonder if he'd be very popular today. Maybe even would we want him to speak here? Calling us to repentance. He was preparing the way for the Christ. For only hearts that have a willingness to admit sin and to change received Jesus when he came. He said, he is the scripture Isaiah said of prophesied of him, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord. make his path straight. Every ravine will be filled, and every mountain and hill will be brought low. The crooked will become straight, and the rough road smooth, and all flesh will see the salvation of God. John the Baptist came and said, I came as a road builder. That road will lead to the Messiah. So I'm leveling out things and taking the curves out so that you could quickly get to Jesus as the Messiah. What did that demand? Repentance. Calling people to repentance. So he began saying to the crowds who were going out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers. Wow. You're from a bunch of snakes. Who warns you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that from these stones, God is able to raise up children to Abraham. Indeed, the axe is laid at the root of the trees, so every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Luke 3, 1 through 8 and following. Verse 10 says, and the crowds will question him, saying, then what shall we do? And he would answer and say to them, the man who has two tunics is to share with him who has none. And he who has food is to do likewise. And some tax gatherers or collectors also came to be baptized. And they said to him, teacher, what shall we do? These tax gatherers said, we want to live holy life. Tell us how to live it. We want to do it. Do we have that kind of heart? When the scriptures are read or when things are said that expose attitudes that we have or practices that we engage in that we could see are not compatible with scripture, do we say, Lord, we want to change that. What shall we do? And he said to them, collect no more than what you have been ordered to collect. In other words, quit cheating. Be honorable. Verse 15, now while the people were in a state of expectation and all were wondering in their hearts about John as to whether he was the Christ, John answered and said to them all, as for me, I baptize you with water, but one is coming who is mightier than I, and I am not fit even to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to thoroughly clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Tax gatherers believed that. And they said, what shall we do? What can I do, Lord, to demonstrate my humble heart and willingness to repent and obey you? In a conversation with the people, Jesus said in Luke 7, 28 through 32, I say to you, among those born of women, there is not one greater than John the Baptist. Yet who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. When all the people and the tax collectors heard this, they acknowledged God's justice, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected God's purpose for themselves, not having been baptized by John. They recognized the justice. This is right. We're going to do it. And then, third and finally, I want to be a tax gatherer because they were courageous and decisive. Not all of them, of course, but those that are highlighted in Scripture. They were courageous and decisive. They answered the call of Jesus quickly and completely to be a disciple of His. From Luke the 5th chapter, 27 through 32, verse 27. After that, He, Jesus, went out and noticed a tax collector named Levi, or Matthew, sitting in the tax booth. This was in Capernaum. This is where Matthew had his tax business. He would be sitting in a booth right by the road where he could tax people, look at their load, figure out what they had, and tax them on their produce or whatever it was that the Roman government had decided to tax. He's there. And Jesus said to him, "Follow me." And he, Levi or Matthew, left everything behind and got up and began to follow him. Now, likely this was not the first time that he ever saw Jesus or listened to him. I take it that he possibly had learned from others as they had followed John's preaching and learned how to recognize the Christ. Maybe he had as well. We're not told. And Levi, look what he does now. And Levi, Matthew, gave a big reception for him in his house. And there was a great crowd of tax collectors and other people who were reclining at the table with them. The Pharisees and their scribes began grumbling at his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with the tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "It is not those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." The tax collectors recognized humbly that they were sinners. They asked, "What can we do to repent and change our lives?" And when called, they left everything to follow Jesus. As we conclude, Matthew, the tax collector, was chosen by Jesus to be one of his apostles. Also chosen was Simon the Zealot. One could imagine that in a former life, they would be at one another's throats, especially the zealot against the tax collector. But here, they now are birds of a different feather. Spiritual feather. The spiritual covering of Jesus Christ. For both have been baptized for the forgiveness of their sins and have put on Christ. This is what draws them together now. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, and James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew, the tax collector. Matthew feels it important that we know that Matthew, one of the apostles, was a tax collector, a despised person in Jewish society. James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus. Simon, the zealot. He feels he needs to point that out to us. What is he telling us? There's room in the kingdom for every imaginable person if they will put on Christ. And Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. He could have been a disciple too had he shared the humble, repentant, and obedient attitude that many of the tax collectors showed. Finally, I want to be like a tax collector because they are called friends of Jesus. These are the ones that Jesus sought to be his friends. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, the Jews say in criticism of Jesus, behold, a gluttonous man and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. And so he was. He was a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. Are you wise? You are, if you want to be like these tax collectors. Humble. My friends, you never get too old to admit and confess sins to the Lord, to be forgiven and to do better, which means repentance demands that you see what is right and what is wrong and determine to quit the wrong and do the right. You didn't just say, I repent. Repent of what? We must know. And it must be from that attitude, say, Lord, whatever you want, that's what I want. I want to put myself into your hands and do what you want me to do. I see that in your way is the righteous way and the way to everlasting life. Someone here would like to obey the Lord? We ask you to come. Let's stand. Let us sing.